We're going to continue our study of eternal realities as we take a look at heaven and hell. And last week we learned how God made us, and He made us to last forever. Not only that, He made us because He wants to love us, and He wants us to love Him back. So today we're going to talk about heaven. What will heaven look like? Will it look like this? Many Hollywood movies show this slide, the pearly gates. Are there pearly gates in heaven where St. Peter stands to let some people in and keep other people out? A lot of people think heaven will be filled with things that give them the greatest enjoyment on earth. So if you like golf, you might think that heaven looks like this. The Masters course, you know? Because you love golf and you want to enjoy, you want to have happiness in heaven, so you're going to go golf. And it's amazing. That's actually a real picture. I thought it was a painting. And they have, you know, stone bridges at the Masters. I can't go because I'm not a member. It costs a fortune. But if you like golf, heaven is like a golf course, and you're going to be the best golfer there in heaven. You'll have skills and ability. Maybe you like shopping, so you think heaven will look like this. The Mall of America, this gigantic, huge mall. And not only that, you get to, in heaven, they're the greatest styles. Everything's on sale. And when you put it on, it makes you look thin. And it makes you look young, you know, because heaven is things we want in heaven. Now, sometimes Hollywood tells us that heaven looks like this. Look at this slide. We're an angel sitting on a cloud. I don't know about you, but that looks really boring. You know, is heaven going to be boring? Is it, we just going to sit around? You know, Muslim fanatics manipulate people, their followers, into killing themselves and killing people because they promise that, oh, if you die in jihad, there will be 70 virgins waiting for you in heaven. Which is really funny because the Quran does not say that. So they make it up. They make things up. People make up all sorts of things about heaven. These are all misconceptions. These are things that people believe, and we have to know the truth about heaven. So today, we're going to look at what the Bible says heaven will look like. But first, let's look at Psalm 123, verse 1. I lift my eyes to you whose throne is in heaven. So when we think about heaven, we think about that place where God reigns and rules the universe from. That's where heaven is. So there's some things let's talk about what's in heaven. Heaven, you know, is beyond our comprehension. Heaven is beyond our imagination. But God gives us several glimpses into heaven. And so today I'm going to be sharing some verses, pulling individual verses out of Scripture to share. But I encourage you this week, go back, take your sermon outline, and look at the verses before and after the verses I'm sharing today to get the full context. So let's talk about what's in heaven. The first thing we see, go to the next slide. Next slide after that. The first thing we see is we will be in paradise. Paradise, heaven being paradise, is the Old Testament view. We see it in Genesis 2:15. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work in it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden." God created man. He put him in the garden. And there, God and man were in communion in the same place in the garden. You know, the people in the Old Testament time lived a day-to-day existence. Our sins, when we sinned against God, it caused God to curse the ground. So life became a daily struggle. Instead of fruit growing freely from the trees in the Garden of Eden, mankind had to fight for every square inch of dirt to make it bear fruit. On earth, we face drought and plague and pestilence. They might finally raise a good crop because there's finally good rain, and then the locusts will come and clean it out. The Garden of Eden, on the other hand, was paradise because there were no worries and no fears about surviving, about there being enough food. Every fruit imaginable was available to eat in the garden. It grew freely. Four major rivers fed the Garden of Eden. We still have two of those rivers today, the Euphrates and the Tigris rivers. They're part of our world still today. So I believe that deep down inside our souls, we want to go back to the garden. We want to go back to the Garden of Eden. We long for paradise and nature. That's why we put green areas in our cities. Look at this picture of Central Park. And then among this mass of concrete and steel sits a park. I think that's because deep down inside our souls, we want to go back to the Garden of Eden. In fact, if you want to refresh your soul, if you want to renew your soul, what do? You go outdoors. You take a walk outdoors. You go to Sedona or Flagstaff and you enjoy nature because deep down inside, we want to go back to the Garden of Eden. So the first picture of heaven is heaven will be paradise because there will be no worries and no struggles. The second picture of heaven we see is we will experience God's glory. Isaiah 6:1 says this, "In that year that King Uzziah died, I," talking about the prophet Isaiah, "saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, and each had six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying." And so the prophet Isaiah says, I got a vision of heaven. I got to look into, take a peek at heaven. And it was amazing. He got to see the glory of God, the glory of God unfiltered. His presence filled him with wonder and awe. The train of God's robe filled the entire temple. There is no need for sunlight in heaven. There's no need for any artificial light because the glory of God lights up heaven. The glory of God illuminates everything in heaven, including your soul and my soul. There's nothing hidden in heaven. Then we see in verse 3, "And they were calling to one another, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory. And at that there sound, the voices of the doorpost and the threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke." And it was an awesome experience for Isaiah. You know, we can't imagine what heaven is like because we've never been there, but Isaiah got to experience it. Trying to understand what heaven is like trying to tell your little kid when you're taking him to the first time to Disneyland. Oh, it'll be so much fun. It'll be so wonderful. And you try to describe Disneyland, but you have to experience. I imagine when Isaiah felt the earth shake, he was terrified, but he was filled with wonder. The angelic beings are flying around. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. See, God is holy. We think we're good people, but God is holy. He sets the standard for what is good and what is not. And so because God is holy, in heaven there is no sin or selfishness. You cannot go to heaven if you carry sins in your heart. If you sinned against God, you cannot go to heaven because God is holy and you are not. And that's why Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins and rose from the dead to pay our sin debt. So we can go before this holy God because God is holy. Only the blood of Christ can cleanse us of our sins. Then we look at verse 5. Isaiah says, "Woe to me! I live among people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Isaiah says, God is holy, I am not. And here I've seen Him, I'm going to die. I've seen the glory of God, I'm going to die. Because God's glory reveals our sin. Remember when Moses was talking to God, and he wanted to assure God that he should lead the people of Israel out of Egypt. He says, God, show me Your glory. I want to see it. And God's like, you don't know what you're talking about. If you see me, you'll die. So he says, okay. God says, I'll put you in the cleft of this cliff, this crack in this cliff. And you go in there and you turn your head. And as I walk by, I'll cover you with my hand so you don't look me in the face. Otherwise, you will die. Because God is holy and we are not. Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins to make us holy. A father was at a beach with his son, and they're playing in the sand, and the young son saw something on the beach, and he gets his father and he takes him over there, and he says, Father, look. And there's this dead seagull laying in the sand. He says, Daddy, what happened to him? Father goes, oh, he died and he went to heaven. And the little boy looked at the seagull for a moment. He says, what happened? Did God throw him back down? Because dead and disgusting things don't belong in heaven. Sin and sinful things don't belong in heaven. The third thing we see, what's going to be in heaven, we will be home with God. You know, last week we talked about how Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, a real place for you to come home. Then we see it again in Revelation 21:3. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and He will live with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with Him, with them, and be their God. See, God wants us to come home to heaven to live with Him. Not just live with Him, but live in God's house. That means we will have a close, personal, intimate relationship with God. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve were in the presence of God every day, all the time, but because of their sin, God cast them from His presence, because God is holy and Adam and Eve were sinful. But God still wants us to come home. We're going to spend eternity with God, with the Old Testament saints, with the angels, with all the Christians through the ages. We'll be together in one house. What does that mean? I mean, when we get together with our own family at Thanksgiving, half the times we fight and we argue and we get mad at each other because we irritate each other. How can we live forever with all these people? What it means is that in heaven, we will have the purest of all relationships. Our relationships with each other will be sweet. They'll be sweeter and richer. There will be no misunderstandings in heaven. There won't be any tiffs or tension in heaven. Nothing will be hidden. Everything will be transparent. There's no agendas. There's no guilt trips. There's no resentment, no jealousy towards your brother or your sister. Because in heaven, our relationships will be open. They'll be honest. They'll be interesting. They'll be loving. They won't be complicated by our sinful natures and desires. We will dwell with God and the angels in perfect compatibility and unity with refreshing intimacy because God wants us to come home. We will all get along in heaven. You know, I'm looking forward to it because I'm tired of fighting my wife with a thermostat. You know, why do we marry someone who's colder or hotter than we are? You know, but that won't be an issue in heaven. In heaven, all our needs will be met. That won't be a problem. Finally, our longing for home will be filled. We'll go home. We will be satisfied. So that's the third picture of heaven we see. The fourth picture we see is we will find comfort and healing. A husband and wife were getting up in age, and they were waking up one morning, and they were sitting, laying in bed, and the husband reaches for his wife's hand, and the wife goes, don't touch me. He says, what? He goes, don't touch me. And he goes, why not? He goes, because she goes, well, I'm dead. And he says, how can you be dead? We're talking, lying in bed. He goes, no, I'm dead. I know I'm dead. And so the husband goes, well, what makes you think you are dead? The wife answers, because I know I'm dead because I woke up this morning and nothing hurts. You're not 61. Just wait. That's because life at times is a struggle. We struggle through pain and problems and trials and troubles. The emotional and mental trauma that we go through is sometimes just as bad as the physical. I was talking to a brother in Christ and he was sharing how his kids had grown up and gotten jobs and he was looking forward to retire because the kids get a job. You've made it. And then he was going to retire, but then his elderly parents started getting in bad health, and so he had to take care of them. And then he was not sad, he was disappointed because he was hoping to enjoy his retirement, but he knows that when his parents, you know, when they move on in life, he will be too old, he thinks, to really enjoy life because life is a struggle here on earth. But in heaven, we will find physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual peace. Revelation 21:4. He, talking about God, about Jesus, will wipe away every tear from their eyes. When we go to heaven, we may be crying and we may be depressed. We may be hurt from our time on earth, but God says, I'll wipe away every tear. You know, my grandkid falls down and they're crying. You put them on their lap. You wipe away their tears because you want to comfort them. In heaven, we will be comforted. Wiping away his tears is a picture of love and compassion. See, in heaven, there is no sickness. There is no sadness. There is no suffering or death. When I get to heaven, I get a new body. I get a body that can walk through doors or go through walls. I'm going to have a body in heaven that will never get old or never hurt. I won't have to worry about eating something I'm allergic to. You know, I won't have to worry about eating something that gives me gas, and then you won't have to worry either. My wife worries all the time. What can I say? In heaven, people say, well, are you going to eat in heaven? Are you going to eat in heaven? I said, yes. I think so, because Jesus ate when he had his glorified body. But we eat just for the pleasure, not to live and survive. In heaven, there will be no sadness. You know, there's a lot of things in this world that bring us sadness. Watching the news about the shooting in Las Vegas last Sunday brought me sadness. We can't imagine why someone would do this. A lot of people say, what can we do about it? Why does God let this happen? Because God gives us a choice to believe in Him or not believe in Him. To be a servant or a sinner. God gives us free will. And sometimes people choose to act in the ultimate evil. So what's the answer? Well, the world is filled with sin and selfishness. The answer is Jesus Christ, who wants to transform us into good and godly people. Heaven-bound people. In heaven, God will wipe away every tear, calm your fears, and fill you with peace and love. Heaven will be a place of comfort and healing. The next thing we see about heaven is we will work and serve God. Now, some of you are probably thinking, now, really, Pastor Terry, we're going to work in heaven? I was really looking forward to heaven until you told me that we have to work in heaven. I thought heaven, you know, is my ultimate retirement plan. You know, go to heaven. Don't have to pay for nothing. Get to live a good life. Revelation 22:3. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and the Lamb will be in the city, and His servants will serve Him. When we go to heaven, we will have greater responsibility. Our time on earth is preparing us to serve God in heaven. Our time on earth is to see if we're going to be good and faithful servants so God can give us greater responsibilities in heaven. Heaven will be a place of responsibility. We will work and serve. Adam and Eve worked in the garden. Even though there was abundance of fruit, God put them to work. On earth, we work out of obligation. We work out of guilt. We work out of ego. And so there's no joy in our work, because sometimes we work because we have to. In heaven, we will work because we want to. We'll want to work because it gives us great joy. It thrills us. It satisfies us. See, in heaven, our work will be the fullest expression of who we are. Understand what I mean? When we work for God and serve Him, it will be the fullest expression of who we are. Because the gifts and abilities that God gives us will be magnified. They will be blessed. Everything we'll do is for eternity. We'll discover new gifts and new interests. We'll discover new pursuits. We'll have new responsibilities and exercise positions of authority in heaven. Our work will be sweeter. Our work will be more rewarding. God made us to be productive, so we're supposed to work. That's why when we reach our fullest potential, we reach our fullest potential when we serve and give in the glory of God. When I serve people with kindness, when I minister to people, that's when we reach our fullest potential. I did a funeral yesterday for someone I don't know who doesn't come to our church. I only did it because someone called me and said, will you help with a funeral? There's no one else to do it. So I said yes. And normally, it depends. But I said, no, I'm going to go serve. I'm going to go serve because I can share the gospel in my message. I can give comfort to the family. I can encourage them to look to Jesus, because everything we do, we want to bear fruit. We want to see your fruit grow. Now, the sixth thing we see, okay, I got to slow my sermon down because I'm going too fast and it's only 11:30. I preached in the Chinese side and we got out like 20 minutes early. So, okay, I'm going to go back to the beginning and start over. That'd be just right. No. Okay, here, number six. We will experience awesome worship. I love our worship team. I've been to some big churches that have professional worship teams, because every time you want to sing in worship team, you have to audition. And so they're like only ones that get to sing are professionals, but I love coming home to our worship team because they're sincere. They lead us in worship. They want to serve. I've had people come to our church that appreciate our worship team because they think they're authentic. They're really leading us in worship. But in heaven, there will be awesome worship. See, a misconception by many Christians that heaven's going to be one long, boring worship service for all eternity. It just sounds boring at saying it like that. No wonder why many Christians don't want to go to heaven. They say they want to go to heaven, but not today because we want to enjoy earth. But heaven will be awesome. Let's look at Revelation 5:11. This is John who got to look into heaven. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, and 10,000 upon 10,000, times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they sang, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power, wealth, and wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory, and praise." So tens upon 10,000s were worshiping God. This is billions of people. Billions of angels and people, saints, worshiping God. And look at the message. Worthy is the Lamb. They were praising God because they cannot conceive how God would become man and sacrifice Him as a lamb on the cross for the sins of the world. They praise God because you are worthy, Lamb of God, because you saved us from our sins. In verse 13, then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing, "To Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. This is not worship because you have to. This is worship because you want to. Imagine this sight, billions and billions of angelic beings and people worshiping. See, when we worship God in heaven, it'll be awesome. Our worship will be sweeter. Everyone will worship God. The whole place is shaking. When we worship God, it aligns God's will with our will. People say, why do we have to worship God? Why does God demand our worship? Because God is so egotistical and prideful? No. The reason we worship God is when we worship Him correctly, it aligns our will with God's will. We're in perfect unison. We have the same mind of Christ and the heart of Christ. People talk today about finding their soulmate. You know, I want to marry my soulmate. And sometimes they marry their soulmates and they think they did. And then they don't. They go, I married the wrong mate. I need to go find my soulmate. Well, to be honest, God is your soulmate. That's your only soulmate in this entire universe. Because when you worship God correctly, you connect with Him at the soul level. You know Him. He knows you. You know His heart. You know His mind. Every day you are connected. That's a picture of heaven. Awesome worship. Now I'm going to give you a warning right now. If you don't worship God on earth, if you don't enjoy worshiping God, whether it's in our Sunday morning service or in your quiet time or your little time reading the Bible or praying, if you don't worship God, you don't belong in heaven. Okay, because in heaven we're going to worship. We're going to worship God. So I ask you today, do you worship God on earth? Will you worship Him in heaven? The seventh thing we see in heaven is we will be happy. We will be happy. Isn't that all you want in life, is to be happy? We don't need any more material possessions. We don't want any more material possessions. Your kid doesn't want any more. They just want to be happy. Jesus often described heaven as a wedding banquet. Have you been to a wedding banquet? Why a wedding banquet? Because in the New Testament, the wedding banquet was the greatest joyous celebration a family could engage in. 7 days of celebration. It's full of joy because there's a new family, a new couple forming a new family. It's a joyous occasion. Heaven will be glorious and full of grandeur. We'll experience the fullness of joy as we live in the presence of God and the fellowship of each other. See, God wants to make you happy. Look at Matthew 25:24-21. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I now put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. I believe this statement, this parable is really about heaven. We've been good and faithful servants on earth. God says, come. Come now. Come into my presence. I'm going to put you in charge of more things. And you get to share in God's happiness. If God is happy, you will be happy. If God is not pleased, you will not be pleased. Now understand, being pleased, making God being pleased with us is not the same as God loving us. God loves you no matter what you do. God's love for you today is as strong and as great as it was from the beginning. But God isn't pleased with us when we sin against Him. God says, today, even though you're a sinner, even though you ignore me, even though you're prideful, you want to go your own way, I still love you. But God's holiness says, you can't come into my presence because of your sin. So God said, I am going to send my Son, Jesus Christ, who will live a perfect life on the cross and die for your sins. He will pay your sin debt. Then He will rise from the dead to show that I have the power to give you eternal life. Let's look at Luke 23, verse 40. When Jesus was crucified, He was hung between two thieves. One thief on one side rebuked Jesus and criticized Him and made fun of Him. Hey, if you're God, save me. Save yourself and save me. But verse 40 it says, but the other criminal rebuked Him. Don't you fear God, he said, since you are under the same sentence, this death sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise. In just a few words, this man admitted that he deserved to be punished for his sins. But he recognized that Jesus deserved no punishment. And he realized that he needed Jesus to save him because he's hanging on a cross. He has no hope. But he saw Jesus and how Jesus loved people from the cross. So he says, Jesus, when you take me, when you enter your kingdom. And Jesus makes him this amazing promise today. Not tomorrow, today, because you're going to die today just like me. You will be with me in paradise. You will be with me in heaven. Do you have that hope? Do you have that assurance? Do you have that confidence that you'll be with Jesus in heaven? Well, we need to make that same choice, that same decision as that sinner on the cross and realize that we need Jesus to forgive us of our sins. He paid our sin debt so we don't have to pay our own sins. He rose from the dead to give us eternal life. We need to say, Jesus, will you take me to heaven? Will you forgive me of my sins? Will you come into my life? I commit my life to follow you all the way to heaven. See, God wants to give you a better life and a better future. It's available, but we must choose Jesus. And so today, I want to ask you, is there anything keeping you from putting your faith in Jesus today, from choosing heaven? You know, sometimes we have doubts, sometimes we have uncertainty. I understand that, but you know enough to make a decision. And if you're here today and you have so many questions, talk to me after church. I would be happy to talk with you. I had one lady who wanted to ask me questions, and I said, fine, I'd be happy to. An hour and a half of question after question about God, about Jesus, about heaven, what's real, what's not. And I answered every one of them, and she became a Christian because she was satisfied. If you're here today, we want to make sure that there's no reason why you're not a Christian. If there's a question you need to ask, come and see me after service. I'd be happy to talk with you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we know that you made us. You made us to love us. And because you love us, we can love each other and we can be enriched by the love we have for each other. But Father, we know that you want us to return your love to you, that we may know you and worship you as our Father in heaven, that we may appreciate your glory and goodness and have a better life and a better future. Father, is there someone here today who needs to make a decision to trust in you? I pray that you touch their heart, that they'll seek you today. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ that we will live for heaven and not this earth, that we'll stop focusing on worldly things and start talking about eternal things, that we may help people learn the truth about heaven, that this week when we go to work and someone says, well, what did you do today? And they can just say, I learned about heaven. What do you think about heaven? Father, we worship you now. We thank you for today. Bless us. Help us to think about heaven and focus on you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In a moment, we're going to sing our invitation song. If you have a commitment or a decision to make, or a question or a prayer request, come forward. I'll be happy to pray with you as we stand and sing this song.